Welcome to the Fruitful and Fearless podcast, where we're serving up gospel-fueled courage to the Christian woman to remain faithful in her calling. Hello, and welcome to the Fruitful and Fearless podcast. I'm here today with my very favorite guest, Jared Sparks.
Hello, good to be here.
How's it going?
Very good. How are you?
Good.
Good. Good day today?
Yes. Yeah, we had our homeschool supplement classes, and we love those.
We have Tuesdays and Fridays that we do that.
Yep. So we still homeschool, but on Tuesdays, our kids take a couple classes at a church in town, and then on Fridays, our church has started offering classes for homeschool students. So we have a couple days, 2 hours each on those days that we're out of the house. So today was one of those days. Yeah, we're really enjoying it. So
yeah.
What about you?
Definitely. Good day. And when we get done here, I'm going to edit the Sons and Slaves episode on pain.
So if you haven't checked out the Sons and Slaves podcast, it's the best podcast that we put out. So it's really adorable. And it's kids say the darndest things meets valuable life lessons. So yeah, I definitely would recommend it to you for your children.
We're going through Bob Schultz's book, Boyhood and Beyond, right now. And it's a chapter by chapter take at lessons for boys. And, you know, Bob does a really good job. He's got four books. I think it's called Everyday Battles, Created for Work, Boyhood and Beyond, and one other that I have on my shelf. I forget the name of it, but he does a really good job connecting with boys. There'll be chapters that start talking about chicken getting its head cut off or something. So, you know, boys love that kind of thing.
Draws them in.
Yeah, he's got a chapter called Dirt. Why is it that boys love the dirt and dirt piles? You give a boy a dirt pile and he's got a week of fun.
It's funny, last night when we were in town, Ransom looked behind me and he was like, when we're done here, can I please go play on that rock pile? There's just a giant rock pile. He's 10 years old, so I mean, it's definitely something.
Where
that is
the rock
within,
pile?
Behind, like, Downtown Dip and then the police station, and then there was just a giant
like
pile
gravel.
Of gravel, yeah, that was waiting to be spread, and he was like, can I please go play? So, no,
and he
that's
couldn't
not
run.
Ours. No, that's not our rock pile, but it's just within a boy to want to get on a giant.
To climb.
Or a giant
dirty
pile.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fun. So we're enjoying that. After we get done with that book, then we'll be doing just conversations with us, whatever we want to talk about, pocket knives, football, just fun
that's
around the house, go-karts.
They're very cute podcasts. So
I think if,
check it out.
You know, Lord willing, we have grandbabies one day, they'll really enjoy listening to their dad and grandpa, or dad and, well, grandpa too, uncle, all having conversations. So
yeah,
eventually,
really cool.
Oak will be on it as well. Providence made a cameo a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. So today we are going to talk about surviving hunting season and other marital sacrifices. And this is definitely something that we are growing in, working on. It's a struggle for us in our marriage. So we thought that we would share our life with you guys.
Sure.
Chasey's shirt the other night was, I interrupt this marriage to bring you hunting season. So yeah, it's a thing. Marriage is more difficult during hunting season because the dad is gone. So life is more difficult when the dad is gone because the dad belongs in the home with the children and things go better when dad is home. So it's always hard. But and also I was particularly spoiled because the first couple, two or three years that you started hunting, in our marriage, you got a deer the very first time sitting in the tree stand. So I was like, oh.
We both thought, this is what you do.
Oh, hunting's super easy. You go out one time, a deer comes out and you kill it, and that's done. And that is how you hunt.
You all celebrate as a family together.
Yeah, it's so fun. And
the dad
easy.
Feels like a hero.
Dad's a hero, and it's no time sacrifice at all.
Quick break in the episode to tell you about a company that I'm really excited about. They're called the Peony Pop. Peony Pop is a Christian company that creates sweatshirts for women. Their goal is to help support the nations and help you share the gospel with others. Their designs are embroidered, bright, and fun. Follow along on Instagram at the Peony Pop for sneak peeks of new arrivals that are coming soon. And you can use the code FRUITFUL15 at checkout for 15% off your order. That's FRUITFUL15.
Because hunting in the Midwest, by the way, we will say here that there's different kinds of hunting. If you're hunting out west, you have to go usually on a 1 to 2 week trip to go elk hunting or blacktail hunting, and you're camping and, you know, you have to put it on the calendar, get vacation days, that sort of thing. Here in the Midwest, you have whitetail hunting. So it's people's backyards. It's the neighbor down the street where you hunt, and you can get out of the house and be in a stand in, you know, 8 minutes. I think it takes me to get in any stand at my neighbor's 50 acres that I hunt on. So it's different because, you know, it's not the same thing. It might be a cool night and you want to go hunting on a cool night because it's a cool night, and it's totally different than planning an elk trip. So there's different kinds of hunting in different places. And I think, you know, for those that do live this kind of lifestyle, you know that hunting is different depending upon where you're at regionally. So where we're at is whitetail and then turkey hunting. Turkey hunting has a season, but it's way shorter than archery season, which is basically four months, October to January-ish.
Yeah. So there's a lot of whitetail deer around. Like, for example, Jared was hunting last night. It's really funny.
At Valor stand.
Jared and Valor were hunting last night. So they were hunting from about 4:30 till 7, and they didn't see a single deer. But me and the rest of the kids ran to the library last night and saw 16 deer crossing the road on the way to the library. So it's a weird place in Southern Illinois where there's tons of deer, but sometimes you don't see them when you want to.
When you're not hunting, they're everywhere.
Yeah, like you got to be careful not to hit them with your car.
Mm-hmm.
But other times when you want to see them, you can't find one.
Yes.
So anyways, we were spoiled the first few years of hunting, and then reality struck, and it was like, wow, this is actually a lot of time.
Well, it's a lot harder
to get an animal.
Yeah, a lot harder than I thought. And it's required, you know, patience, and it's just different than those first couple of years.
Okay, so maybe we should talk about a few lessons that we have learned that have been helpful.
Okay.
For hunting season to survive and thrive and not be bitter with one another. So, because that's the thing in marriage, you know, whenever there is a lot of time that needs to go to something that is normally family time, whether it be a husband needs to work overtime, or you have a big project going on as a family that is taking away from when you're normally doing other things.
So this is hunting, but it's broader than that.
Yeah.
It's got a lot of different things.
It can be a lot of different things. And it can just be a time where it's difficult to be gracious with each other. And I think that it's important to remember that it is a season. It's not forever. And then also treat others as you want to be treated, the golden rule. So in hunting season, maybe treat your spouse as you would want to be treated. So if you had something going on that you felt was valuable to your family and also that you enjoyed, would you want your spouse to be guilting you every time you went, or making you feel like hurry up every time you went? So I think it's important, how would you want to be treated if this was you on the other end of it?
Yeah, and I think it's important also to understand that the things that you enjoy, whatever it may be, even if it does bring, like one of the reasons I like hunting as opposed to like playing basketball or something like that, is that it's something that I can do with my family for the long haul. Something that hopefully my kids will enjoy. And right now, yesterday, because it went the way it went, I was trying to get this idyllic situation where there's going to be deer everywhere and have Valor there and see a bunch of deer, and then, you know, the family goes to the library and sees more deer than Valor does. You know, it's just kind of how it goes sometimes. But I think there has to be that way you're approaching it, of treating others as you want to be treated, understanding always, because you can really push a family if you hunt too much. And I've had a couple of years where it was like that, where I wanted to be out there. I wanted to get out there. I've got a tag to fill. I want to fill it. And any time that I saw that is a possibility to get in the stand, I wanted to get in the stand. And already this way, anyways, we're only about 9 days into season, but I don't have that same sort of feel a whole lot more peace about being able to go when I can go, when it's the right time to go, without trying to be pushy to try to get out there as much as I possibly can. And I think it's critical for the hunters out there to be, don't be ravenous over getting out as much as you possibly can, but know when is a good and, you know, when is a bad time, and then act accordingly.
Yeah. So another lesson would be, consider others more significant than yourself. So from both sides of the marriage during hunting season or times of sacrifice, okay, treat others as more significant than yourself. If my husband is more significant than myself in this, how should I treat him? And then husband to the wife, if my wife is more significant than myself in this, how should I treat her? And how should I prioritize time?
A quick break in our episode to tell you about the King's Ridge elderberries. This cold and flu season, supplement with elderberry syrup from the King's Ridge and help push back the curse. Made from cold press American black elderberries grown right on their farm in East Central Indiana. Their products are simply the best. Antioxidant and vitamin-rich elderberries have been shown to help bolster the immune system and lower the chance of getting the flu. Use promo code FRUITFUL and get 10% off your first order to try their delicious elderberry syrup. Find them and follow along on Instagram and Facebook at the King's Ridge Elderberries.
It's very good. I think the hard part with all of this is trying to implement that in seasons. If you are, you know, we've had friends that were remodeling a house and it took an exorbitant amount of time to remodel the house, you know, those kinds of things. I think the whole family can be encouraged by knowing that there are seasons.
Yes, seasons of difficulty. But it won't be like this forever.
Yeah, it won't be like this forever. But also, I think hunting season is more difficult when the kids are little. The older they get, if they end up enjoying it, it can become something that the family enjoys together, aspects of it. So you might be in the season where your kids are all teenagers and you all just look forward to hunting season because it's just a lot of fun. So you've got to kind of take this and apply this to a different kind of thing that would be more of a struggle, where we still have 3-year-old and we still have a baby. You know, being gone, when you're gone or when I'm gone, it is more difficult than if they were teenagers.
Or if our 6 and 10-year-old was our younger. Another one I think is just embracing your humanity in it. I have kind of thought during these seasons that this is just super hard because I'm trying to do everything that I normally do, but without Jared in the evenings or without Jared in the early mornings. Sometimes you have to just embrace that I actually can't. It's actually impossible for me to do all the things that I think I need to be doing if he is not here, or the things that we normally do in an evening, or the things we normally do in a morning when he is here. So just embracing that I am human and I have limitations. And even if I could physically do all the things, that doesn't mean that I could emotionally or mentally handle the load of doing all the things like normally. So to be able to let go of some of the expectations and know, okay, it's hunting season, so something has to give. So maybe it's the amount of time that we spend doing this. Maybe that is cut back a little bit, or the standard that I have in food or in the house cleaning or whatever, or the lawn or whatever, you know, like the standard for something has to come down during hunting season because I am a human and I cannot do all the things all the time. So just maybe talking about that together as a family, like, hey, during hunting season, what if we got help in this area to kind of take some of the stress off? Because I know that this is important to you, but I don't want to crumble as a human being. So what if we got help in this way during the season so that it's smoother? But maybe that is just a lesson in planning, to just think through things a little bit more rather than just being bitter and upset, taking control of the situation more to know that I am not a victim of hunting season, but I can be a manager of our household during hunting season, and a good manager puts things into practice, mm-hmm. or puts all the pieces into play.
Well, one of the things that we talked about that I think it's going to be helpful for us is getting the dates on the calendar. Like it is a 2-week trip or something, but instead the weather's good Friday night. What we did this Monday was we looked at it. The weather was supposed to look good, and it was the first day that the weather was looking good for this season. So what was early last week, I said, hey, next Monday looks good. I'd like to go out Monday morning and Monday evening if I don't get one, and it seemed to work out well. So I went out Monday morning by myself, and then I took out Valor in that evening. By the way, when your kids are little, and you know this, hunting with children is kind of like fishing with children. You're there for the experience, but it can be difficult. So we're in the stand, Valor's eating snacks and coughing, and I'm just talking with him about what you're to do when you sit in the stand. You know, we're quiet and just talking back and forth and that kind of thing. But it's a lot of fun, even though it's a challenge. I think including children in anything you do when it comes to fixing things around the house, it makes it more difficult when a child helps, but it's important to include them and that kind of thing with hunting, fishing, whatever it is. It's always a good thing to include them, even though the inclusion of them brings a particular challenge.
So another lesson perhaps could be just dying to yourself. Like all of the Christian life, it's another area to die to yourself and just know that, okay, this hunting season, I am going to do this for someone else's betterment Like, yeah. I'm going to lay my preferences aside so that someone else can get what they want, whether it be letting a kid come hunting with you or not going, or saying to your husband, hey, you should go tonight. The weather's great. We're doing good.
Yeah.
All right. Well, those are a few snippets from what we are learning right now. Hopefully it will be helpful to you. I'm sure you heard the genuineness in our voice as this is hunting season and we're hoping to thrive through it this year. So blessings to you. If you are also a wife during hunting season, may you be generous and bless your husband with many chances to go sit in a stand.
How about we come back in 3 months and report? Yeah, you guys can hold us accountable.
Yeah. All right. Until next time.
Hey, everyone. We want to thank you so much for listening to the Fruitful and Fearless podcast and continuing to come back. You guys have certainly been an encouragement to us, and we hope we've been an encouragement to you as well. We want to continue this work, and we need your help to do that.
If you'd head over to the Fruitful and Fearless website, it's just fruitfulandfearless.com. You can find memberships there that are different tiers that contain different benefits to you as well. If you want to just support us for the heck of it because you're enjoying the show, that's always a blessing as well. But we try to make it even more worth it for you with recipes, groups for homeschooling and cooking, baking, natural health. We try to put as many resources on there as we can. But thank you for your support. It greatly helps our family.